if I had to, you know, figure this out. But after a while, you just figure it out real quickly.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Just like Peter, what do you got here?
Hebrew.
Advanced orientation?
Yeah, advanced
orientation. Compared to somebody that's never been
Greek alone.
Close to Greek and somebody that's never been close to English.
Oh, wonder which class I'd meet afternoon.
Faster or easier to learn.
What do you get
Greek
every day?
Greek would be a lot faster to learn, I think.
The reason why, once you learn these verb endings, like I wrote that paradigm down for you, lu o lu. Once you learn those verb endings, they apply to a lot of different verbs. So once you initially learn them, they apply for all these others. That's your model that you learn when you get research.
We're going to be putting in our sliding door about that time. All right. I'll have somebody else do it so it don't get messed up. I think Peter is good.
Remember those days? They go like me. Anyone even what?
I am
Goose.
Yeah, we're almost through.
The appointed time having been brought together, meaning confused.
It looks like what's happening to us now. Well, we want to finish up lesson 53 exercises. 53, is that right? Yeah. Well, we're getting close. Okay. And tomorrow we have the vocab quiz, chapters 49 to 52. And take heart, the last test will only be 3 chapters. So. Yeah, the 55 is going to make up for it.
Did you determine whether or not there's going to be object sentences on this next test?
Oh, on the grammar part?
Yeah.
I'll have to check. Let me put a note down to that effect. Yeah, it would only be on that last portion of them, if at all. Let me put a note to that effect.
Third person masculine.
Yeah, I'll let you know on that tomorrow. Give you some details on that. You can always remember what's on those tests and look at them. Okay, lesson 53, verse 4, I think we had gotten through, right?
No.
Or we just got to it?
I read it, but I didn't try.
Oh, that's right. Okay, he's honest. All right. Why don't you go ahead and try to translate it then? You don't have to read it again. Unless you want to.
It would help me to read it again.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and read it again then? All right, go ahead and read it again.
Why you bought anything? The Ish Ashir Wayak Mor Lakak Lakakha Itsoni Itsono Ukar
la orea haba lo waikak en kipsat haish hara harash waya aseha laish haba elao.
Okay.
And the traveler came to the rich man. And number Hamon.
Despair, yeah. I don't fully understand the sense of that, but it's fair to take. Yeah. Yeah, he's spared to take. So the idea is kind of to trouble himself to take or something. Well, I'll see, to spare the oneself the trouble doing something. If you use the infinite, it's what they give. I see the sense of it. He
take of his flock.
Yeah, he's spared to take from his own flock. He didn't take from his own flock, took from the other guys. Okay. That was the point. Okay. So the idea is that he's sparing. He didn't want to go to the trouble. Yeah. Right. That's the idea. He's stingy. Okay. In other words, he's not creating these animals, but he's putting them in a form for consumption here. So you might say to make for the traveler or to prepare for the traveler.
I've
got traveler down for that. I don't know if they give it here. Wasn't? Okay. Did you find it in the back or anything?
No.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe what you had to do.
Yes, traveler.
Yeah, traveler, sojourner. Oh, no, traveler, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, so he spared to take from his own flock, own cattle, for preparing or to prepare for the traveler.
Right.
The one coming. And he took
So he took the female lamb of the poor man.
And
translate that about the same too. Prepared.
And he prepared, remade for the man, the one coming toward him, or he prepared it, I suppose.
Well, yeah, prepared it.
That's the suffix.
Yeah, that's right. It's a suffix.
So he prepared it.
Object suffix. Right.
For the man, the one coming to him.
Right. Okay. Good. It's quite a mouthful. So when the traveler came to the rich man, Let's see. Well, that's a different word for traveler. Okay. I was,
yeah. That's
that's what threw you off. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Participle.
It's probably just a noun built from it. You know, it's not purely a participle, but probably sometimes the noun pattern's different even than the participle would be. So a traveler came to the rich man and appeared, he spared to take from his flock and from his cattle to make prepare for the traveler who had come to him. And he seized the female lamb of the poor man and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Okay. Verse 5, Eric, one question.
The reason I thought there was participles in there, I translated it as the traveling one, the one coming to him.
The last clause, you mean, or where?
That was in.
Which
yeah,
clause you're talking
about? Yeah, one in the middle, too. It was the same phrase.
Kind of poems there. And,
oh, you mean that for that la oreg up there, the oreach?
Yeah.
Okay, that may be just a participle. Yeah. If you looked it up, I just put traveler here, traveling one for the one traveling, and then at the end you might have done the same. Well, no, there wasn't an infinitive there.
Is the haba that participle too?
Yes, that would be. Yeah, la ish haba, the man, the going one, or coming one,
okay.
One the one coming to him. Because you can't really make this a finite verb. You see, the form ba, the third person singular, is ambiguous, but with the article on this after an articular noun, it's not ambiguous anymore. It's got to be a participle. Okay, and the only reason we're saying the man who had come to him is because of the past, you know, the whole narrative being in the past, but the form itself is just a participle. So the man coming to him would be fine. Or the coming man, well, the man who is coming to him. Okay, verse 5, Eric.
When you call on David, Baish, Naor, Bayomer El Nathan, Chaim Jave, Ki, Ben Mavet, Aish, Ose, then anger came to very much anger came to David's nose.
Right. That's literally it. Okay.
In the man, or for the sake of the man.
Yeah. Or against the man in the way that the way the idiom
yeah.
They give you. You know. Kind of in the man, it's kind of a forceful image.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it detonates them. Jolly the cause of the son of death is that man doing
this? It's kind of idiomatic.
Yeah, I just don't know. Okay. Is that doing man? Is that, well, it doesn't have an article for that. Don't I know it now.
Well, yeah, but the result would be just this. You know, in other words, the ha'as osa would be participle going with man. The man doing this.
Oh, yeah, man doing this.
Mm-hmm. So, literally, it's for a son of death is the man doing this. Or the man who has done this is a son of death. And it's an idiom for deserving of death. Sentenced to death. He's a son of death. He's associated with death, in other words. Okay. It's probably quite a powerful expression, too. So, and David became very angry, or his great, very great anger to his nose, literally, against the man, and he said to Nathan, as Yahweh lives, the man who has done this is a son of death, or a son of death is the man who has done this, or deserving of death is the man who has done this. I'm going to loosen it up to their bigger speech here. Yes, Peter.
Okay, I have for Ha'osea as a participle.
Mm-hmm.
But that can be past tense. I had doing.
Oh, yeah, it is a participle. The man doing this, yeah. The only reason, see, participle's tense value is dependent on the context, you know. So we normally have been translating the present, but if the whole narrative is past, you know, the man who was doing this would be fine. So I'm not going to.
You still get the sense that
you still get it.
Some of it was done in the past.
Sure.
The context,
yeah, that'd be fine too. The man who is doing this is the Son of Death.
Then you can add in put it past tense, and you can add in who has done it.
Yeah, you could do that just because of the nature of a participle modifying a noun. Functioning very much like a relative pronoun in Greek. So, in other words, as long as it's an attributive participle, you're going to get that sense. And Greek's attributive participles are often translated that way, too. Yes, Bryce?
That verse 5, what's that very first word there,
this is the verb to become angry, and it's an imperfect form. In other words, in anger was, and then off his nose. So you had your, what was the, I think it was hara, hara, starts out. So it's a three hay, and the hay drops off, and then this is the apocopated form. Well, yichar, the yod is from the imperfect third person, and I was pretty sure it was chara.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, okay. Those apocopated forms are tricky. Because the first year, you're wondering, well, was this a one nun, or was this a three hay, or what was it? Okay, any other questions? Verse 6 then. Tony, you want to take it? Not too long. Okay. You can just remember the story here. You know, what happened next?
Akhilisha.
Akhilisha. Akhilisha. Akhilisha. Akhilisha. Yeah, Akhilisha. It's a song. I mean, a scene. Okay, Arvatayim. Arvatayim. Because he did this thing, you know, because of which, or because. See, they gave you this in the vocab here for that Ekev Asher, because. So, because he did this thing. Yeah, it's kind of a. Another way to say because, and upon which he did not spare, had no pity. Yeah, and so we might say because of the fact that he had no pity. So in the female lamb he will restore fourfold because he did this thing and because he had not pity. Okay. Any questions?
A
little bit, yeah, because either, now I'm not sure how you would render that first because I'm not sure if the word akev is used by itself, but the all, of course, upon which is the common way of saying because, upon the matter, upon the grounds that are, you know, on the basis of which he has... Yeah, right. It's a very different logical sequence here. So he's going to restore fourfold because of the fact that he did this thing and because he had no pity. So that would seem to suggest that there was no, not only he did it, but he didn't have any remorse or pity or, you know, forgiveness when he did it. Okay? This is all going to stab real deep when he finds out. Yeah. This is classic here. Okay, verse 7 then. Right.
Vayomer, Nathan, El, David, Atah, Ha'ish, Ko, Amar, Yahweh, Elohei, Yisrael, Anoki, Masha, Katika, Lamelech, All, Yisrael, Anoki, Itzo, Tika, Miyaz, Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you the king of Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul."
Okay. This says there, you probably want to make said because... it's Amar, it's the perfect form. And there's no sequence there, so, I mean, it's broken it up with the Ko. So Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus said Yahweh, the God of Israel, I anointed you king as king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul." And it's going to continue. Yes?
Does it be used in perfect? Because I know the King James almost always, when they translate it,
that says,
always, and that the Lord said is the only perfect.
Right. They may. I think it probably is using imperfects most of the time. I don't know. You'd have to check those examples. With Ko, maybe it's interesting. If you didn't consider this as breaking up the narrative, well, let's see. You have Wayomer. You have a converted perfect there. Well, converted imperfect. Looking at this here. Well. No, you still wouldn't do it. The only thing you would continue with there would be more imperfects to get perfect meaning. So the only way you can do it is just kind of take it by context and idiom. Maybe idiomatically they could say it. That probably is.
Context, if you went to someone in a situation, you can only get them what the fresh word
sure.
Right now.
Right, that's usually what we do. We don't, you know, thus said Yahweh. We would say, thus says Yahweh. So that's probably more of English idiom than anything. Because obviously the Lord had said this before,
sure.
You know, at least you know a fraction of a second before. Anyway, I don't know. It's interesting. If we perceive now that it raises a question: whether we perceive of this as being a prophecy that's bubbling forth from him at the time, or whether God had already revealed this to him, and explain to Nathan the whole scenario, and now Nathan is relating it to David, saying, "God said this." That might be a question. One would, I suppose, just have to study the phrase Ko Amar and see if it's always using with Ko is always followed by the perfect, and if it's consistently that way, then we might have to take it in more of an idiomatic sense. And if it's done that way, when it's clearly a prophecy that's flowing out of his lips at the time that he had not premeditated or had not been revealed beforehand. So literally, just taking it literally, it's thus said Yahweh. It's a perfect form, and there isn't any there isn't anything about the narrative sequence that would change your mind on that per se. But there might be with this expression of consistent usage that way. That's the way I translated it. The first I noticed I had thus says, and then I changed it to said later on. So it'd be good to examine that phrase and see if every place else are using imperfects, and here they're using perfect. That would be some evidence to support the idea that Nathan had gotten this whole revelation before he came to David, rather than prophesying it on the spot. But if it's always Ko Amar, and it's in the sense of prophecies, then perhaps This is just a prophecy that's bubbling forth from him, and they just giving it in the sense that this is what the Lord has said right now. In other words, this is what he has concluded, and it's not necessarily something that he had been revealed before. Okay? But I don't have enough confidence just looking at the phrase as it is to decide unless I looked at it in its constant usage. You should be able to find that fairly easily, but there's lots of places that says, thus saith the Lord, all throughout the Old Testament. So it'd be a matter of examining if you...
It's Koamar.
It's Koamar? Okay. Well, if that's...
Sometimes they'll use debar, but when it says, thus saith,
it's Koamar. Mm-hmm. Well, it does look like if that's the case, if it's used... In other words, I would expect it, if it's even used a few more times that way, that's probably the pattern, because it is unusual. So... I think on this I would accept the translation either way, thus says or thus said, because it's in a certain, well, it's almost a modal aspect to it. It's not quite the same thing as we defined before. We normally use imperfects for that. But it seemed like there might have been something too as far as said as one of the verbs of, there's something back there about the verb to know and a few things, yada. Maybe this was one of them.
The meaning of the perfect, he says, the verb signifying perception or the attitude or disposition of the subject toward
okay.
The object.
Okay. That would, in a sense, fit, because this is not, this is saying all right, but it's saying the disposition, you see, of the Lord at that time in this situation. It's a prophecy concerning that. So I suppose it could come under that category. So we'll go ahead and translate this. It says, provided John's right now. If he's wrong on those examples, then we're all...
I've seen it probably half a dozen times.
Okay. Okay.
Because that's how I figured out that Cole meant thus, because I kept seeing that and I thought, well...
Oh, okay. All right, we'll accept that. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure you're right. Okay, verse 8. Doug. Osifa, I guess it would be what Osifa. Okay.
And I gave to you the house of your Lord and the wives of your Lord into your bosom. And I gave to you the house of Israel and Judah.
Okay, good. Yeah, the footnote helped you with that whole last phrase. You can kind of see the idea, and if little, the wood is coming from the modal sense. This is just a first person form, so imperfect form. So, and if too little, I would add, because of the idea of the if, you're getting a subjunctive kind of an idea. So I would, if this, I would add to you much, so much more. Okay. Yeah, literally be as here and as here, or as them and as them, feminine plural. And I'm not sure which sense you would take it. It's obviously an idiom, so much more. Increase your wealth and see, I would add to you so much more. I would add to you, literally be, I would add to you as here and as here. Kind of as here and as here. As progressive, or as them and as them. I'm not sure. It could be the feminine plural, you know, henna, hina.
Those two.
Huh?
Those two.
Possibly. I would add in those and those. Yeah, that's a possibility. Yes, John?
First part of it, this, I gave you the house of your Lord and the wives of your Lord. Now this possession, is this, it sounds strange to be saying, is God speaking to David saying, your house and your wives, or saying, I gave to you.
Oh, I see.
The house that is mine. I'm the Lord, and I gave you the house that is mine. I gave you the Lord's, your Lord's house. Understand?
Yeah.
Which way does it go?
Yeah, that's a good question. Let's see. If he's making a direct quotation here, God's saying, I delivered you from the house hand of Saul, and I gave to you the house of your master and the wives of your masters in your bosom. It sounds like your Lord would be Saul. In other words, I gave you the house of Saul and the wives of Saul, so forth, into your bosom.
The reason I bring it up is that this...
the man who was formerly your master. In
this adon, is that not plural?
Yes, looks like, yeah, adonecha.
So we have adonecha.
The plural of majesty form.
Being used.
I know.
Saul.
I know it. I have run across other passages where the plural of majesty form was used in reference to man. And that was a surprise to me because I thought it had always been used with reference to God only.
I can't say the Lord, so that would have the right.
You're more. Yeah, I put masters in. You know, I put the S in parentheses there, your lords, because of that problem. You know, not wanting to make this apply to Saul, but if it does apply to Saul, we got. I found some other places where I think we even ran across them here. But maybe it was when Joseph was talking about Potiphar or something.
Yeah,
it seemed like we found a plural there.
There's two places in that passage.
Mm-hmm.
And so this adds another.
If this be the case, it would seem to add some more support to that. Of course, which would greatly weaken the Trinitarian allegation of a plural. You see,
writing these things down.
Yeah, take a note of it. This one might be somewhat debatable because I suppose it could be conceived as the house of your lords or your masters. But
see,
who would the masters be?
The wives of your lord. Anything that these wives, both, you know, if you're taking it speaking to God.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're talking about
having
wives that he gave to David.
And sure.
The Mormons would love it.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mormons would love it, yeah. Yeah, certainly not God. And so the wives of your master, it'd either be the wives of your master, Saul, or the wives, and we find out it was some of Saul's wives that he got, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Huh?
It goes on here.
It
talks about what's going to happen
with
the wives.
Right. And then with his sons and all that, yeah. Yeah, I think so. That's one of the main applications. So it sure looks like it. If it's not Saul, it has to be Saul and somebody else, and I don't know who else it would be.
There was no.
Yeah, there wouldn't be God.
Who you would really call Lord
no.
or David, unless
no.
it was his father or something.
Yeah.
There was no one else.
But he wasn't given the wives of his father, you know.
So. Samuel.
No. Sure.
I wonder if David called him with the plural form. Like,
possible.
Saul, I
mm-hmm. Yeah. That kind of respect that he had. Be good to check that out and see. But you see, the only thing that's tipping off here is the form of the suffix here with the sagol yov. You've got the plural form of the suffix. And that would mean that even in the, even if you took the vowel points away, the yov being there is going to indicate that unambiguously.
Why?
Yeah, right.
The yov is there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Couldn't that just mean Saul and his officials, and so when David came to office,
not only did he get Saul's stuff, but he also got his position.
Possibly, you know, but...
yeah, Paul and Chip's idea.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
so.
I thought
that it was.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he was doing that way, like Eli said when he came to class.
Sure.
For a dignitary, you know,
yeah. Yeah, this one might be a little bit debatable, but I think that if you add this to what, yeah, you know, to what he had before, if we find that one about Potiphar and so forth, if that one's valid, that one's there's
well,
not much wrong.
Well, I've looked, it's in, you know, mm-hmm. as far as I can tell, it's not ambiguous.
Sure.
And it's in a man's writing text that way. Yeah. Take what he's on for.
You might even find this if you find, for example, in the historical narrative of David referring to Saul as Adonai, then you could have a real strong support there too. If you know he's only talking to him and not to all of his. Yeah. Some surprises here. But I did that too. I put master and then put an S in parentheses just to open the door to that. But I'm not so sure now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that would be if you're going to do a study on that,
well,
put these together.
One of those things that you keep
sure.
an eye on. You know,
I know it. Somebody was interested.
Study this out.
Who, Eric? Were you the one that was telling me about possibly doing plurals in Hebrew?
No.
Yeah. Well, somebody picks that up. This would be easy. This would be some good data to include. A lot of this, most people haven't even looked into, you know, paid much attention to. And I keep running in commentaries, you know, lots of examples of plural majesty that, you know, you never find written in books anyplace or summarized. Nobody's interested in summarizing those. Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, three masters.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yes. Any other questions there? And we got through the rest of it in that last idiomatic phrase, and like I say, that last phrase is something you need to look up again too. More that the word can be either one, and either way you could see this idea of adding. Okay. Mainly it's just, you know, when you repeat something with kuh on there, you can almost put anything in there and you get the idea of adding. Okay, verse 9, and who's next? Peter.
Nadua, Manzita, Debar, Debar, Yahweh, Laasu, Hara, Benai, Jem, Uriak, Piti, Tekmita, Bacherez, Wehen, Ishto, However, you despise the word of the Lord to do the evil in my eyes with Uriah the Hittite. You smoke. Oh, no, I
didn't. Yeah, that Madua translated why. Why is a question word. Why have you despised the word of Yahweh to do evil in my eyes?
Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do the evil in my eyes? Okay,
now we're here. Okay, and then start a new...
A new phrase? Right.
Yeah, and the thing that's tripping you up is that the object is coming first. So Uriah is the direct object.
Oh, okay.
Marked by F.
So I stopped after my eyes.
Yeah, and then you can make a new.
Oh, I had that F as a whip. All right.
Oh, that's what happened. Yeah.
You smoke. Okay, or I'll say Uriah the Hittite. You smoke with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, you took to you for a wife, but him you killed with the sword of the son of the Ammonite.
Okay, good. Good. Why have you despised the word of Yahweh to do evil in my eyes? You have struck Uriah the Hittite with a sword. Smote Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and his wife you have taken to yourself as a wife, and you have killed him by the sword of the sons of Ammon, or the Ammonites. Okay?
I've noticed before when David has ice, it was always Indian, like the police.
Oh, yeah, E. But what he's taking the ites from the B'nai. He's, in other words, probably we should either translate it the Ammonites or just the sons of Ammon. The sons of Ammon are the Ammonites. In other words, the footnote 12 gives you B'nai Ammon is the Ammonites, literally sons of Ammon. Okay. Then verse 10. Back to John, I guess. Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, there's that. They're using that preposition b instrumentally all the time. That's quite common in Hebrew. Okay. And verse 10, then John.
Wata lo pasur heret mebeteka ad olam ekev ki bezitani.
Bezitani.
Yes, right. Bezitani. Okay. Uriya.
Mm-hmm.
Hachiti. Leyot. The Isha. And now the sword will not turn aside or depart from your house until forever, because that one I don't is the body.
Okay,
because
you,
I don't know.
But it's bizarre to be spies. I think we had it. Yeah, we had it in this vocab list. Baza, prehe, then you got a suffix on it.
Okay.
Pronomen suffix.
Because you despised me.
Right, because you despised me.
And you took the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, to be to you, to possess to you, or to have to, for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, to be to you for a wife. Yeah, right. To be to you for a wife. Okay, and now the sword shall not turn aside from your house forever, because you despise me and have taken or took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be to you for a wife. Okay. Questions?
Like that Abdullah.
Yes.
A very definite never.
Mm-hmm. Very, very definite.
The end of infinity. You
right. Yeah. Yeah, until forever. Yeah. Very graphic expression. Okay, in verse 11 then, Eric? Here it is again. Down singular too, but I guess you're right, it looks like that.
Then it's the singular in the verb. And he will lie down with your wife to your eyes, to
mm-hmm.
your eyes, in that sun or in daylight.
Yeah, check the noun for that. That may be have a yod in the end of the noun, maybe. For friend or companion. See if this is singular. I have it down as singular. It might be a mistake. Because the verb form is singular.
So that yod should
indicate. Earl. Okay, to your friend.
That's parallel that, you know, someone that's a close friend is your friend, he will.
That is a hard one. Then one of them will. Yeah, that could be. It could be particularizing. It'll give you wives to your friends, and then one in particular will shame you in this way. That's a possibility.
Maybe not. Everything is recorded.
Yeah, that's true too.
Have to look at the ray and see how it is used.
Yep. Yeah, there doesn't seem to be any way around it. Let's see, A3B. Let me just check and see if this has any peculiarity in the paradigm for the suffixes. Don't think there is, but. Well, doesn't look like it. I'm pretty well stuck with that. Okay, we may just have a particularization here. I'm going to give it to your friends.
Well, I did it wrong in the end of translation. For the eyes of the sun, only the sun should be before your eyes.
Okay, before your eyes.
The last
verse,
before the eyes of the sun. Yes,
before the eyes of the sun. Maybe I didn't listen to you in that last part.
The eyes of the sun.
Yeah, before the eyes of this sun, literally. Hashemesh Hazov.
Now, this is where that Shemesh is usually feminine, too.
Yeah, Shemesh goes both ways, both masculine and feminine. And, yeah, I think we had David try to track some down just to see if there was a significance to that or not. But I don't know if he ever got a chance to do it. It looked like it was going to be too big a job. Okay. So thus says Yahweh, behold, I am raising evil against you from your house, and I will take your wives from before your eyes and give them to your companions. And he shall lie with your wives in the eyes of this son. Okay. Yes.
Okay, I think it's a participle with the name. I had behold me arising upon you. Not it's behold me, and then he's saying arising upon you evil from your house.
Mm-hmm.
You can say I am raising from that.
Yes, I am raising evil. Yeah. Then this is causing to arise. In other words, I'm causing evil is probably a hithiel participle here. Makim. Remember, kum, kam, to arise, and this would be the hifil form of that, hifil participle. So I am causing to arise, or I am raising evil against you.
Kind of like saying, watch.
Yeah.
Watch me raise evil.
Sure. Yeah. In other words, I'm about to do this. Okay. Verse 12. It's an interesting Hebrew in this section. Tony?
Israel.
Hashemesh. Yeah, Hashemesh. Well, no, Hashemesh. Yeah. Why is it a comments there then, rather than a segol when he guesses? Yeah, pausal form. Okay. If you can't figure it out, it's probably because of that if it's at the end. Something. Okay. Translation, Tony?
I said,
first half is instructed from the second half. I'll give it to you when you turn on. But I go, because you did secretly, and I will do the matter, this matter,
before all Israel.
Before all Israel. And before the Son.
The Son, yeah. So the contrast you might translate this way, for you acted secretly. Notice the ata there, you've got a very emphatic pronoun. For you acted secretly, but I, see, with ani, get the contrast. But for you acted secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the Son.
That's the number of times he's done that. He says, you are the man, but
yeah.
I will.
Right, exactly.
I've given this to you.
Yeah, contrasting back and forth there. The key is it starts off, and the key can be because, but it can also be for, in a sense like this.
That implies constant effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, because you acted secretly, I will do this thing for all Israel and before the Son. Yeah, that could possibly fit. It's not a really different idea.
There's an implication in that.
Mm-hmm.
You hadn't done it secretly.
Yes.
I mean, that's
oh, yeah.
Really true.
That's not, yeah.
It's implied.
It's one that is useful secrecy. Uh-huh. I think there is. I don't know if it's built from this word or not. This one... There's other words for secret too, and marvelous, and they've got positive connotations. That's a different word, but interesting that this one might be more appropriate to secret sin. It's got seems to have a negative connotation here, at least in this context it does. So, sether means secret. Okay, 13. Who's next, Bryce?
Yeah. Final there, David. El, Nathan, Atapi, Yahweh, Wayomer, Nathan, El, David, Dam, Yahweh, Hedir, Atta, Setka, Lo, Samot.
Okay.
And David said to Nathan, I have sinned to Yahweh or against Yahweh. And Nathan said to David, Yahweh has also
this is the hiphil form from avar means to cross. God has caused it to cross. The other way is to put it away. He's caused it to cross over. Yeah, that's an interesting phrase.
Put away your sin.
Mm-hmm.
But you will not die.
Yes, you will not die. Mm-hmm.
But it has to do with that cross, right?
Yeah, that's not. It's kind of idiomatic. But God has caused it to cross. Get out, cross over the gulf and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, right.
Way out the other side of the gulf now,
Okay, and David said to Nathan, I have sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan said to David, Yahweh has also put away your sin or caused your sin to cross, and you will not die. Okay, well, you did the right thing. Quick repentance.
Mm-hmm. Public repentance.
Right. Isn't much else intelligent to do in that position. Verse 14, who's next? Doug. Okay, well, you got spared like John did yesterday. We'll translate it tomorrow. Otherwise, it won't get on the tape. Yes. Mm-hmm. This word must be ignored in translation. Yeah, he's got some interesting viewpoints on some of this stuff. In lesson 55, there'll be a whole paragraph that you can probably X out. Liberal philosophy. Okay. Tomorrow, we'll get. Yeah, right. Yeah.
50 years ago or
what? I don't have any idea how old this fellow is.
71?
Yeah, 71. Copyrighted.
That one's published. That's the first copyright.
Copyright. The first copyright to give.
Yeah, there
probably is. Oh, May 1971, yeah. He's probably still. Hey, don't forget the vocab quiz tomorrow. Vocab quiz is the kind of thing you don't want to forget. If you don't remember, if you don't.